Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. Not with me today, Akiva Wienerker. Akiva no-showed again, but to be honest, we don't really need him today. Well, we're going to be talking about the Minnesota Vikings, so it would be hard to get a word in edgewise for him, with me just being the only one here. But we have a very special guest to talk about the Vikings. Before I formally introduce him, I just need to go on a rant for 1 second here, which is people's inability on the internet to understand the concept of sarcasm. Obviously, I'm not treading any new ground here, but the reason I bring it up is because all of a sudden, I see in my Twitter mentions some people making fun of a tweet that I had from 2012 in which I said, hold on, let me be accurate for the sake of posterity here. My 2012 tweet, which apparently people noticed for some reason today, was Joe Mauer never comes through in the clutch, hashtag stupid Twins fans. So if you know anything about me, you know that I was being sarcastic about sort of the segment of Twins fans who have always hated Joe Mauer because he doesn't hit dingers. And they don't appreciate him for how good he is, including his clutch stats, which are incredible. But the specific reason why that tweet would be obviously sarcastic is because I tweeted it on August 4th, 2012 at 11:08 p.m. And if you check the box score from that day, you will notice that Joe Mauer hit a 3-run homer in the 9th inning to beat the Red Sox. So anyhow, so that's the tweet that I tweeted at the time. For the 5 people that were following me on Twitter at the time, I was being sarcastic, obviously. So some Twitter fans who are actual, some Joe Mauer fans on Twitter found that tweet today and were mocking me and were pointing out all like the clutch stats of how good Joe Mauer was, especially in 2012. And so I had to like defend myself and say like, yeah, guys, I was being sarcastic. Like, look when I tweeted after he hit a game-winning home run. So anyways, Ryan, you're a Twins fan, right?
Yeah.
Where do you fall on the Joe Mauer thing? Are you one of the Twins fans who think that, you know, he's overpaid and he's, you know, the bane of our existence, or are you sort of on the other side of that?
I've always liked Mauer.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. So we won't have any disagreements there. All right. So let's turn to the topic at hand today. Let me formally introduce our guest. I'll give the background. So if you go on YouTube, there's a lot of great like NFL recap videos. The NFL makes them themselves for the league. And for the Vikings in particular, there's this amazing Twitter YouTube feed, which it makes these videos like every, you know, touchdown ever scored as a Viking by Adrian Peterson or Percy Harvin or whatever. Or it'll be like, you know, the greatest Adrian Peterson run against any team. I think I mentioned that on the Saints podcast a couple days ago. And then my favorite thing he does is he makes these like 10-minute recap videos of not just like sort of every classic Vikings game going back, but then also sort of a lot of random regular season games that the guy making these, obviously, there's a reason that he remembers that game. And then for a lot of them, I'll watch it and I'll remember where I was when I saw that game and, you know, why that game was important to me. So this guy on YouTube, his name is Funky Dunkelman. And so I thought, well, listen, you know, last year our Vikings guest was actually very popular with the listeners, but let me reach out to this Funky Dunkelman and see, you know, seems to be a Vikings fan, seems to be pretty knowledgeable. Let me see if he wants to come on the podcast. So I sent an email to Funky Dunkelman, and a real person by the name of Ryan Scorch responded. So Ryan is the man behind the nom de guerre, Funky Dunkelman, and Ryan agreed to come on and talk about a little bit about his YouTube videos, but also talk about the 2018 Vikings. So Ryan, formally, after that needless, irrelevant Twins rant, welcome to 32 Fans. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Glad to be here.
Okay, great. So yeah, so let me talk. Let's start with, so you're from Minnesota, you're a Vikings fan. How did you start making these videos?
Well, first of all, I like to just collect the full game videos. I've been doing it, probably for like the last like 7-8 years. And I would just like fill up a hard drive and then buy another hard drive and then keep on going. And so then at one point, I would try to find, you know, and trying to find new games and stuff. And for some reason, I just decided, hey, once YouTube, they removed like the 10-minute limit for videos back in the day. And I thought, well, what the hell? Why don't I just put some of these videos on YouTube? If 500 people see it, cool. If 5,000, I don't care. You know, just to spread it out. And so I did it, and they started to get some traction. And I'd always go and kind of look at the comments, whatever. And I always like my favorite ones were people that would say, "Hey, I was at that game. I remember this. You know, great to see this again." And so everything was going fine. And then a couple years into it, the NFL, the Shield, just went through and struck down almost everyone. I think I had a little over 100 games, full games, 2-hour games, you know, posted, and the NFL just struck them all down with their copyrights. So then I just thought, well, you know, that was fun. So that's that. And then the light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, well, I've got all these games sitting here that people can't see anymore. And so I got some free editing, video editing software and started doing it. And yeah, so I've been doing it for the last couple of years and it's somewhat taken off. I get a few thousand views on most of my videos and I'm just, you know, I'm not doing it to make money, obviously. I'm just doing it for the fans, just doing it to, like I said, for people that remember the games or maybe new Vikings fans that have never seen some of these players play or maybe they just heard of them. It's just to make like these little bite-sized videos that, yeah, I've just doing it just to share it with the fans.
Yeah, I mean, 10 minutes is really the perfect amount of time because, you know, like the NFL has their 30-minute recap videos, which Akiva likes to talk about how he'll power through those for like every game. But 10 minutes is enough. You cover sort of every relevant play. And, you know, but it's not, you know, you can watch and I have watched like six or seven of them in a row and it's not going to like kill like an entire day. You know, it can just sort of be a couple hours in the evening. Let me ask you this. You know, at this point, you're like, you know, you are to me and into like Vikings fans as like Logan Paul or Jake Paul is to like millennials on YouTube. But like, how long did it take between when you started posting these and when it started getting like, you know, like a decent feedback from people?
It was kind of pretty quickly. I'd always go and post them on Reddit, on like the Viking subreddit, where I was somewhat active. And it was just kind of a thing of like, you know, I know it wasn't going to get me like a huge amount of press, but it's like, hey, here's this video I made. If some of the old farts, whatever, remember this game from the 90s, or if I posted something like, you know, the Adrian Peterson, you know, peak era games, whatever. And when I first started doing it, I would pick like whoever the Vikings were playing that week. I believe my first video I did was a game against the Jaguars where we were playing them, I think, in 2016 or something. And I posted like a game from 2012 where Adrian Peterson, his first game back from his ACL injury. And it started to pick up. It got like a few hundred in the first couple days. And then I would always kind of look at the stats, whatever, and it would just keep on going up and going up. And I was like, oh, well, it's more than the 50 people I thought were going to click on  it. So I made another one for the next week and another one, and then just kind of kept going on. And then to get through the drudgery of the off season, I just kept on hacking away at it and doing more whenever, you know, I wasn't killing myself with it, but just whenever I found free time or if I came across a game and I was like, wow, this one, I forgot how good the ending was on this, or I forgot that so-and-so, this unknown Viking had a couple touchdowns or something. And so I just kept on doing it. And that's, I'll keep on doing it until I get sick of doing it, I guess. I've enjoyed it so far.
Okay. All right, Ryan, let me ask you a question. Don't want to get too personal here, but just so I get an idea of sort of your generation of Vikings fandom. How old are you approximately?
29.
Okay, all right. So you're just, okay, so I'm 35. So, I mean, the first season that I remember, like, watching every single game was 91, and then 92 with the Dennis Green year when they went 11-5. So you came in probably a couple years after that, right?
Yeah, my first memory was week two of the 1998 season.
Oh, okay. So right in time for your heart to be broken, basically.
Yep.
For the first time. What's the video you've had that has sort of had like the most feedback, whether positive or negative?
Definitely, as far as the 10-minute highlights go, the 2009, the game against Green Bay, Brett Favre's return. That one
to Lambeau.
I can't even keep up with the comments on that one anymore. Like usually I have like a thing where I'll read it and just see who's, but that one, it's just an animal house in there now.
And so on that video, is that mostly Packers fans who were angry or who were all these commenters?
Yeah. Angry Packers fans. Vikings fans just kind of rubbing it in, to the Packers fans.
You didn't post the game last year where Anthony Barr injured Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Yeah, because that one, I think, would have engendered a lot of anger. I mean, Packers fans seem to think that, like, that was worse than, like, 9-11. Like, the way they react is if Anthony Barr, like, intentionally tried to harm him or play dirty. I mean, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I thought it was a pretty clean football play and just a freak injury.
Yeah, his shoulder, I try to steer clear of the current NFL stuff. I just want to dig up old memories that I want
to. All right, well, on that note, let's jump to the current. So let's talk about the 2018 Vikings for a second. So I'll start with, you know, Keeve, my co-host, has a whole series of segments that he likes to do on these. So I'm sort of in charge today. So so we have the Vikings, both Akiva and I, in our preseason power rankings, ranked third.
Okay.
Behind, we have both the Eagles and the Patriots in different orders, but one and two. Where do you have the Vikings in your preseason power rankings?
Seems like every year the Vikings are ranked anywhere in the top half. It results in disappointment.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, based on the fact that almost everybody's coming back, with a healthy Dalvin, I don't see how anybody could, at least in the NFC, put them any lower than three. But yeah, I guess if I was to make an official one, I would probably put them. Yeah, I don't know who I guess you have to put the two Super Bowl teams in there, especially since they're going to be just as powerful as last year. But yeah, I don't know how much further you could put them down. I certainly wouldn't put a team like Jacksonville or LA or Atlanta over them. So yeah, probably yeah, three I think is pretty fair.
Yeah, I mean the strange thing about this team is usually when a team has, you know, like the fantastic season that in our case obviously ends the wrong way, you try and run it back the next year. So like 2009, obviously the Vikings tried to run it back the next year, and Favre, you know, obviously hit his wall at age 40. 98 to 99. Although, you know, 99, obviously they went to the NFC title or to the divisional round where they, you know, got destroyed by the Rams team that was incredible that year. I think even in other sports, like the Timberwolves in 2004 tried to run it back in 2005 and it didn't work out. But this is an unusual circumstance because the Vikings really, I mean, their defense is the same, their coaches are the same, but they really have a new team in a lot of ways because they changed their quarterback and then their running back, you know, is new. And so their offense is really different and in theory is an upgrade. Obviously expecting anybody to be better, you know, expecting anybody to be better than Case Keenum was last year is going to be difficult. But I think the assumption with Cousins is that his baseline is, you know, Keenum was much more likely to bounce back to earth than Cousins is. So what is your feeling about the change of quarterback?
I do like Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to expect him to come right out the gates and be a world beater. I think he will get better as kind of the season goes on. Not that I'm comparing him to what Favre did in 09, but if you go back and watch Favre's like first even like 6-7 games, you could tell a lot of his, he was out of sync a lot of times with some of his throws and routes. He just didn't have the timing down. He didn't know his receivers well enough. He didn't have that before. And I think there might be a little bit of that with Cousins, which is, I think, kind of sucks that the first couple games of the season that we have the 49ers and the Packers, that we could lose a couple ones that we should win just because maybe like not everything's kind of gelled together yet. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I do think he will be an upgrade. There will be an upgrade overall with the quarterback play. I think a lot of what Keenum did last year, he was bailed out by some great receiver play by Diggs and especially Thielen. And I think Kirk is just a little bit better all-around thrower. Yeah, that's why he's making the money that he's making.
Yeah, I mean, it was such an interesting offseason decision because you had three quarterbacks who were all free agents. And then, of course, you had Cousins. And then for a second there, Drew Brees, it seemed like, might have been available. You know, obviously, that would have been the most ideal outcome, although obviously that didn't happen. So let's talk about, okay, so the first of Keeve's questions always is your confidence ranking in your coach. So if you had to rank your confidence in Mike Zimmer from 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, Bill Belichick and 1 being, you know, Raheem Morris or whatever, where would you put Mike Zimmer?
I've always loved Mike Zimmer. I don't know how I could go any lower than 9. Even back when, I remember back when he was still with Cincinnati and his name being floated around him year after year as far as being a head coaching guy. When we were going through, you know, the slums of Brad Childress and Leslie Frazier, who just, they weren't leaders. You know, maybe they would have been good as position coaches, but you could tell they just couldn't lead a football team. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, man, that guy would be great. And then Frazier came in and, you know, just thinking like, oh, well, he'll be gone. And then it's like kind of the stars just aligned. And we got him, and I was so thrilled when we got him. And my confidence in him, I still, this is what, his fifth season, and I trust him that he knows what he's doing, that he knows, you know, that he's not one of those like egotistical coaches that's gonna, you know, just do what he feels like and screw who the players are, what kind of talent we have. But he knows how to build a defense, and he knows how to put, you know, an offensive staff around that knows what they're doing. So yeah, I'm fully confident in him. Rarely has there ever been a time where like I doubted something that he did as far as like a coaching decision.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you. And frankly, this is a coach, you look, since he joined the Vikings, they have improved every single year, with the one dip in 2016 when they started 5-0 and then everybody died basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've thought he's like a top five coach since he's come into the league. And yeah, I'm very, very confident in him as well. And then, and what about the front office? What's your take on Spielman and the rest of the front office from 1 to 10?
There's been a couple bruises and a couple black eyes over the the last few seasons, Ponder is the first one that comes to mind. But I think Spielman's done a pretty, you know, I think he's certainly like in the top third as far as like drafting ability. You know, not everybody hits a home run every time, but he's picked, you know, some real good defensive players. It seems like we're not, the Vikings aren't as, they don't rely so much on like the big free agent pickups like in years past as they did, where we just kind of, you know, money that we spend is on these guys' second contracts. It's in the last few years, you know, re-upping all these guys. And yeah, I don't, Spielman, and then Brzezinski working on, you know, the contract kind of magic that he does, finding his money where you don't think it is. Again, yeah, full confidence. Maybe not as much as I have in Zimmer, but yeah, I would certainly take him over most of the other, you know, GMs in the front offices of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you with all that. Now, obviously, the biggest test for him thus far has been, you know, what to do with quarterback this offseason. Because, you know, they by deciding to go all in with Cousins and give him that record contract and guaranteeing that whole thing, realistically, it does mean they've shortened their window because they're going to have to give up some other pieces, whether it's Barr or somebody else, a year or two down the line, maybe even sooner, just because they're not going to be able to afford everybody. And so, you know, this we've thought, obviously, looking at this team the last 3 years, that they were a quarterback away from you know, possibly winning a Super Bowl. And hopefully, you know, I made a chart ranking every quarterback from 2015 to 2017. So over the last 3 years, to get a slightly bigger sample size in just 16 games. And over the last 5 years, you know, or the last 3 years, excuse me, Cousins has been a top five quarterback statistically. He definitely took a dip last year compared to the previous 2 years. And the question there is it because, you know, he lost his wunderkind offense coordinator who went to the Rams, or is it because of all the injuries that Washington had last year? So he wasn't as good last year as the previous 2 years for sure. But it just, you know, when you compare him to the Vikings' in-house options, were you betting on Case Keenum out of nowhere, a career backup at age 30, repeating a career year? I mean, that just doesn't seem likely. Bradford is good for one game at a time, but, you know, the last time we saw him, he had, like, the greatest game of his career, walked off the field with no injury, and then never played again, right? And so,
yeah.
and then Teddy, I mean, I'm you know, we all love Teddy, but, you know, the fact that he has a functioning leg and came back at all seems miraculous. But the fact that he got nothing more than $500,000 from the Jets to be a third stringer probably indicates that he's unfortunately not going to be able to continue his career, which is unfortunate. But, you know, so I just think that it's a risk, obviously, of what they've done. But they've gone all in, and, you know, let's hope that Cousins is, did you see the Jalen Ramsey, the interview with GQ, the Jaguars defensive back, when he was trashing every quarterback by name?
Yeah, I think, wasn't it the one, and then you didn't have too much to say about Cousins?
No, well, he actually complimented Cousins.
Yeah, that was one of them that he didn't trash. Yeah, I caught a little wind.
Yeah, he, hold on, let me pop that article open. He said, yeah, what about Kirk Cousins? He says, I think he's good. I think he's a winner. He's a hell of a competitor. Coming off the play action, he's the best quarterback in the league. Play action passing, he's a hell of a quarterback. Well, listen, the Vikings running back, Dalvin Cook, was leading the league in rushing when he got injured in week four, so... in theory, they should be able to have a serious threat in play action. And so let's hope that Jalen Ramsey knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
When Akiva and I did our quarterback rankings a couple of weeks ago, I had Cousins 9th. Where would you put Cousins if you were sort of, and I'm not asking you to come up with a full list right now, but from 1 to 32, where do you think about he would be probably?
When I would rank something, you know, with the NFL, like 1 to 32, like I kind of split it into like 8 different, you know, I mean, 4 different sections of 8. Like I would think he's right on that, like, so you have like your first tier of 8. I would think he's right on like the bottom of the first tier, top of the second tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We seem to be simpatico about a lot of things here.
Yeah.
We gotta find some places to disagree. all right. So let's turn to the offense as a whole. You know, as we said, Dalvin Cook coming back in the backfield, you know, backed up by Latavius Murray, of course, Cousins. And then he has, you know, 2 Pro Bowl receivers in Diggs and Thielen. Actually, our last podcast just a couple days ago, or 2 podcasts ago, was with the Saints fans. So let me talk to another Vikings fan. Tell me your experience for the Minneapolis Miracle. Where were you? How did you react, et cetera?
I was home watching it, sadly, by myself. But no, I'm one of those people that, especially if it's a really important game, I don't, like, as far as like my circle of friends, I'm the one who cares about the Vikings the most. And I need, you know, if I'm going to watch football with people, they need to be focused on football, not about, you know, what they're going to do, what the next week is, or how bad work was, whatever. So my general tradition has been playoff games. I just kind of watch them on my own, mostly because you know, usually they end badly, so people don't want to be around me when they end badly. So yeah, I was watching it. I was at home watching it by myself, and I remember the completion to I can't remember who the receiver was, the Saints receiver. It was on the 4th and 10, and it set up.
Yeah, on the left side. Yeah, right before the field.
Yeah, I'm blanking on his name, but yeah, that was the one where it set up where they're like, "Yep, they're in field position." And I just remember thinking, we have the 17-0 lead, and just thinking like, "Well, this is it. They're going to kick a field goal, and that's going to be it." And here we go, the Saints.
It was over then. It was 100% over. You know, the fact that Forbath hit the 53-yard field goal on the previous possession was a miracle because, you know, I'm sure you would agree. Confidence in Kai Forbath was never high in his time on the Vikings, which is still going on officially, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, I still think he deserves a lot of credit. I don't think he got enough credit. Everybody.
Oh, I agree. Oh, for sure.
That was one of the...
He did, in that game, he did what he needed to do.
Yeah, one of the most clutch kicks I've ever seen made, you know, because we don't make them. But yeah, that one, yeah, I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Longwell never got the chance in 2009, of course. You know, we saw what Gary Anderson did. We saw what Blair Walsh did. So.
Yeah. So they kicked the field goal, and then I'm just thinking, like, the fallout from this and, you know, like, the overreactions and people that are going to say that, like, you know, Zimmer's a bad coach or that, you know, the Vikings defense was overrated all year or something. And then, I'm sure as any Vikings fan has, I've watched the replay of that play. I don't even know. It's up into the probably 4 digits now. And and I remember just my first thought, and like I said, this is as a Vikings fan, you're pessimistic. My first thought was when Diggs caught that ball, I thought he stepped out of bounds. And I'm thinking like, oh man, and then, you know, watch, they're going to get the replay and they're going to show it and he's going to be at the 27, whatever. And here we go. Another clutch kick for the Vikings to win. And it's like, yep, here we go again. Yeah. And then I remember seeing that first replay from like the end zone angle. I'm like, oh my God, he didn't step out of bounds. This is something wrong has happened with how the earth works. We went on a different, we're in a different universe now or something because something good actually happened. So.
Yeah. And didn't it make you think like, oh, like, you know, obviously, you know, like it's all bullshit to believe in stuff like destiny and stuff, but didn't it really make you think like, oh, you know, this is different than every other Viking season, you know, we're meant to be. And then of course the next week's squad.
No, not I was actually the other way. I thought that like, because I was so mentally just already prepared for the loss and that there wasn't even going to be an NFC Championship game. And it went the other way for me where I was like, wow, we're going to get to play in this gift of a game. It's still going to be in Philly, so we're still going to be the underdog. And I remember thinking, like, if we lose...
No, we weren't, though. The Vegas line, the Vikings were favored.
Or were they? Well, either way, I know, because it's the Vikings, it's on the road, it's in prime time, it's on grass. It's all stuff that we're...
I mean, it ended up, to me, I thought it was actually worse than the 41-0 to the Giants in 2000, because that game started out, you know, the Giants go down the field, they score a touchdown, the Vikings fumble the kick return, the Giants score another touchdown, the Vikings go down the field, throw to Chris Carter in the end zone for a touchdown to make it 14-7, but it's intercepted by Brian, that white cornerback on the Giants back, Jason Sehorn.
Yeah.
And so immediately it was a blowout. This game, we were like, it was like a tease because the Vikings took the 7-0 lead pretty easily.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought of the 4 NFC Championship game losses that I've been around for, I thought that was by far the least heartbreaking. That the 41 donut, that one hurt.
Oh, wow, I'm shocked to hear this.
That one hurt for me.
With the chance of the home Super Bowl?
That one hurt for me because that was Robert Smith's last game. And he was like... I love Moss, I love Carter, but I really like Robert Smith. That was my first like Vikings jersey that somebody bought for me.
Okay.
I'm guessing probably because all the Randy Mosses were sold out. So I was the kid with Robert Smith. I was the 26 in a sea of 84 at that school. So knowing that that was his last game, that one took a little bit. Knowing that like it just, you could just feel like that was it. That was the peak, whatever. And then you had, you know, if that was the downfall of the team for the next couple years, whatever. Green getting fired and stuff. So I thought the Eagles loss, as bad as it was, I thought it was the fourth worst one. So
yeah, wow. All right, so let's turn to this offense now. I think obviously the biggest question on this offense is going to be the offensive line. The injuries are already piling up, which is not helping anybody right now. The starting left guard I think it's supposed to be Tom Compton, who's a local boy, which I always hate because, like, Minnesotans always love the locals so much that the teams always seem to, like, sign local kids, like local guys, more than they should. And this is true of, I mean, at least in hockey, there's a reason, because Minnesota's good at hockey. But the Timberwolves, the Twins, and the Vikings always have more locals than they should. And I always think, like, he's probably not as good. And because he's from Minnesota, like, the team, like, boosted him up in terms of recruiting him. So I always get nervous when a guy's from Minnesota. And Tom Compton is, like, a 29-year-old who, in his career, has started 11 games. So it does not seem like an ideal guy to be slotting in as a starting position for a team that thinks they're competing for the Super Bowl. And then, you know, hopefully the rest of this line is healthy. But again, you know, Remmers has already been hurt in training camp. So, you know, tell me what your feeling is of the offensive line.
Not great, certainly that. I was hoping that some more attention would have been paid to it in the draft. You know, obviously they got O'Neal, but I remember when they selected Daniel Carlson. I think it was at like 175 or something.
The kicker, yeah.
Yeah, and remember thinking, like, you're telling me that there wasn't one offensive lineman here, one guy that could play multiple positions, or that Spielman didn't like, you're going to get a kicker. And like I said, we just had a guy last year that nailed a 53-yard or whatever, clip field goal. And you think that we need to go out and get a kicker more than we need, you know, maybe.
Oh, wow. So you are a big Kai Forbath fan, apparently.
Not a fan, but I just thought, I thought he earned the 2018 job after what he did last year.
For the one kick against the Saints.
Yeah, and Daniel Carlson, like, all due respect to him, but, I mean, yeah, you nailed a 57-yarder. So did the other kicker did last year, whatever, I can't remember. Did he have a 58-yarder in preseason, and then we never heard from him again? So the guy that was battling with Kai last year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the one problem with Kai Forbath was, first of all, he was literally the worst extra point kicker in the NFL over the last couple of years. And I don't understand why, right? How is an extra point any more difficult? It's a 38-yard field goal with, in theory, less pressure. And so that was always frustrating that he was going to miss, you know, four or five extra points a game, a season, excuse me. You know, as a kicker on field goals, he was actually above average a little bit, but I never had the confidence in him. And also, it was clear that Zimmer did not, because he also attempted far fewer, you know, from like the 50-plus range. Now, part of that is Zimmer likes to go for it, which I appreciate,
yeah.
Frankly. I like the aggressive play calling. But there's clearly been circumstances where another team would kick a field goal and the Vikings don't, because Zimmer doesn't trust him the way that, you know, obviously like the Lions trust Matt Prater, for example, or something like that. So I was, not that I know anything about Daniel Carlson, and you know, obviously we've seen rookie, you know, Blair Walsh came in as a rookie and was incredible for 1 year before he got the yips or whatever. And Greg the Leg Zuerlein, I think was the rookie year the same year for the Rams, was incredible. And then of course we've seen on the other extreme, like Robert Aguayo for the Bucks, who, you know, they traded up for him and he was a disaster. So, you know, who knows what Daniel Carlson will do? He's got a very Minnesota name, obviously, Daniel Carlson.
Yeah.
But like, to me, it's like, at least, like, coming into the season, my biggest two concerns were going to be kicker and offensive line. And at least for, like, I'm no longer concerned about kicking. Now, again, Carlson misses one kick and I'll be all, you know, pins and needles again. But to me, like, if they think this highly, they traded up and everything, you know, they think he's an upgrade over Forbath. So, you know, if as long as Carlson doesn't miss three extra points in September, hopefully, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to spend more on the offensive line. I agree. It's funny because last year they spent, I think they had the most expensive offensive line in the league. And this year they've spent, I think they're like 29th in spending it on the offensive line or something. So they have not spent a lot, and they're really, they're really hoping that Cousins can get it done with a less than average offensive line, I guess.
Yeah. I think a big part of it was too, they just took Joe Berger for granted for all these years, and then he's finally gone and they just didn't have like a backup plan. I mean, I don't know if they thought he was going to come back again for the fire and come back for one more year, but that guy deserves a lot of credit too for playing with some real stinkers around him, whatever that, you know, the seasons that he put up. But now he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just, I'm so nervous because when you have so many guys getting injured already in training camp, they just don't have the depth on this line. So you talked about Brian O'Neill, which is another guy that they drafted this year. If they're going to have to turn to these guys quickly, because they're already turning to guys like Compton who are starting, and the first time that Remmers gets injured again or one of the tackles, you know, so there could be a lot of problems there. But hope, you know, let's turn to the defense for a second. You know, returning, you know, what's been an elite defense for 2 or 3 years in a row. Are there any holes in this defense that jump out at you?
Not really. Assuming everybody stays healthy. I like the D-line. I like the linebackers. I like Gedeon.
They added Sheldon Richardson, who hopefully, you know, can bounce back to, you know, where he was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I still fear that he will be, this is just, we're kind of renting him for a year, and then next year he'll command the same, if not more, if he has a good year in it should be.
Well, but if he has a good year, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, so. But that might be something. That's what I'm thinking, looking ahead, that we might need to look for next year's draft.
Who should be starting at the corner opposite Xavier Rhodes? I mean, Trey Waynes has been a little disappointing, I think, the first couple of years of his career. Terrence Newman is, you know, older than us. Older than me. Older than you isn't as difficult, I guess, but he's older than me by a lot. So,
I think Trey Waynes should be starting there. I think he will put forth a little bit extra effort this year because he's kind of playing for a new contract. I'm assuming that he won't be coming back here. That's just because of a money thing and because we just drafted the corner in Hughes. So I would put Waynes there and Terrence Newman. I think we'll find maybe like some kind of different packages for him to go in, maybe something like a three safety set or just kind of an injury feeling, whatever. Just like, you know, when guys are gassed, whatever, you can go in. I don't think he'll be out there for 50, 60 plays a game for sure. And then McKenzie, I'm sure McKenzie will stick around. I don't think he'll be a surprise cut or anything, even though he's kind of underperformed, I thought, for most of his career so far. But yeah, I would definitely put Trey opposite Xavier. I think that's one of the most reliable tandems corners in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Hughes. So the Vikings spent a first pick on a DB again this year. Waynes, you know, sort of sat on the bench for a couple of years. Now, cornerbacks tend to not, you know, come into the league and star immediately the way like running backs do, for example. So it wasn't that unusual to see Waynes start a little slow. But you know, I think that most Vikings fans are a little disappointed where he is right now. But, you know, so hopefully Hughes can be a little bit of a faster starter because, you know, ultimately, everybody loves Terrence Newman. But when a guy's 40 years old, he can't rely on him to be playing a lot of snaps.
A little bit of a step.
Yeah, although Darryl Green did it for Washington, so
yeah,
anything's possible. Last question about sort of training camp stories. Do you buy into this sort of Laquon Treadwell is about to break through finally this year? Any of that hype?
God, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, what did he catch last year? 20 balls, and I think it was one his rookie season. He's got a...
Yeah, that's his career high, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we've shuffled him in some different quarterbacks, and you think that, you know, if he can't make it with Cousins, then he can't make it with anybody as far as establishing a rapport. Thielen is a guy, you throw anything at him and he catches it. And Diggs is just, you know, you can throw him a ball at the line of scrimmage and he'll find a way to make, you know, 7 yards out of it. So, yeah, Treadwell, you gotta, you know, he's gotta figure out a way to, you know, get open in the red zone. With Jarius Wright gone, maybe try to be that reliable third down guy, whatever, coming across the middle and, you know, fighting for a couple extra yards because, yeah, so far he just has not found a spot anywhere. And I think he has the talent. And I don't know what the real story is why he hasn't been able to, you know, really show anything. But, I think this is it for him. Routes. He's going to go the Troy Williamson route and, you know, be cut, you know, by some other team next year or, you know, just never even have a shot, you know. Even if he's a first rounder.
There's talk that Kendall Wright, who they signed, who was actually the Bears' leading receiver last year, which says a lot about the Bears' offense in 2017. Yeah. There's talk he might not even make the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he was a cut.
Yeah. Well, because a veteran like him, look, he's not going to play special teams or something. So if he's not going to be the third receiver, he doesn't really add a lot of value.
Yeah, and I think we do have some young depth, too. I mean, I don't know how many receivers they're going to keep on the roster, but I'm going to blank on these names. But I know, like, Chad Beebe. He's looked all right in the preseason. And then you've got like, I can't remember these names. Number 16, he made a few catches today.
Oh, yeah, Caleb Jones. Yeah, these are some deep cuts. So you're going deep into the roster with these guys.
Yeah, I don't know what the contract was, but I wouldn't be surprised if Wright got.
All right, so if you had to predict, this is another one of Keeve's segments, who will be the best non-first round pick of all the rookies this year for the Vikings. So to me, you know, all the eggs are in the Daniel Carlson basket of kicker, obviously, the fifth round pick. But who would it be for you?
I'm just going to say Daniel Carlson. I think there's an advantage to that of being a rookie and where, you know, like you're playing every kick, you're basically playing for your employment, you know, as if it's next year or whatever. And I think he seemed confident, like he hasn't been shaken, and he certainly got a better leg than Kai does. So that's my pick. I think well, you said non-first rounder. I don't think Hughes will make that big of a splash. And then, yeah, and I'm not really, like, sold on anybody else. I think they'll kind of be slow burners as far as their development goes. And I think that's kind of how Spielman does it. He gets some of these guys that fall a few spots, maybe because they had, like, maybe they're injured their junior or senior season, or maybe they, you know, if it was a defender, like maybe they played under a different scheme and suffered for it, and then dropped the draft stock. But I think Carlson, I think he'll be all right this year. Just, I mean, he banged a couple of kickoffs so far today, so I'm confident in him.
Yeah. I mean, look, if somebody's a kicker as a rookie, it's probably the highest profile, unless, you know, you're a quarterback. It's a very high profile place to either succeed or fail miserably. So, if he's not their most successful non-first round pick this year, then that means something has gone very wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's, we're going to jump into the 2018 schedule now. I'm going to ask you to just throw out a W or an L for each game. I'm not tying to you to this, but we're just trying to see, you know, where you're at for a record prediction for the Vikings as of August 18th. So week one, open the season at home against San Francisco. They've been playing San Francisco a lot early in the year, but at least this time it's at home. Unlike
the Monday night a couple years ago.
So is that a win or a loss at home against Jimmy G and the overhyped 49ers?
I'm going to call that one a win. I think, like I said earlier, I think Cousins, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a game where maybe he has like two picks or something, or just kind of looks off, and I'm sure that'll be like front page material, whatever, for Monday. You know, if he completes like 55% of his passes or something. But I think we'll pull that one out, because Jimmy G, you know, he's only got, what, six games under his belt in San Francisco. I think we'll win it. I think it'll be close, but I think we'll win it.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Favre starting slow in 2009. So if I recall, week one, they destroyed the Browns, and Adrian Peterson had, like, you know, 180 yards and three touchdowns or something like that. And so Favre did nothing, but he didn't really need to do anything. He had, like, a little dump off, like a 5-yard touchdown pass or something. And then week two of that season, again, Favre had, like, I think, like, less than 150 yards. And, you know, again, they were riding Peterson. And people were already whispering, oh, you know, Favre is 39 years old, and he was injured for the Jets, and he's done, and, you know, what is the team doing? And then, of course, week three was the original Minneapolis miracle, you know, when he had that touchdown pass to win against the 49ers to Greg Lewis. And then from then, it was pretty clear that Favre was back. And so Favre started slow, but the team also started 6-0. So, you know, if Cousins can start slow, but the Vikings are piling up wins, I won't complain, obviously. But week two, it gets a little bit more difficult. They go at Green Bay, and we got to assume Aaron Rodgers is still playing in week two, at least. So win or loss at Green Bay.
Yeah. As hard as it is as a Vikings fan, almost every season you have to kind of – you just have to pencil in at Lambeau as a loss, because – You look at...
Yeah, I mean, every elite team in the league that the Vikings are playing this year, obviously the Packers are a divisional team, so they'll play them home and away, but other than the Saints, every one of these elite teams are playing on the road, and there's a couple of those coming up. Week three, they get probably their easiest game of the year. They come home to face the Bills. I don't know who that, you know, if it's Josh Allen at that point, or probably not that early in the season, but that's got to be a win, right?
I hope so. That's one game I have tickets to this year.
Okay, if that's not a win, we got bigger problems. All right, so now they're 2-1. And again, now things get very difficult. Week four on short rest, on a Thursday night, on 3 days rest, we're going at Los Angeles to face the Rams.
Yeah, I forgot that one was on a Thursday night. Yeah, I guess you'd have to call that one a loss. If it was a Sunday noon game, I think it would be up in the air. But yeah, that's a short week. You got to travel.
Yeah, the Thursday night games always favor the home team. All right, so now you're 2-2 with a couple of tough road losses. And then week five, we go back to Philadelphia. So we played at Green Bay, at the Rams, and at Philly. And, you know, we're barely into October.
I think the Vikings are going to win that one.
Oh, yeah, wow. Confidence there.
it's you know, so they'll have 10 days rest, whatever, after the Rams. And
yeah, that's true.
Who knows? I don't even know what the current situation is with the Philly QBs, but I think they're going to have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, at least for the first part of the season. I think we're going to win that one. I think it'll be low scoring. I don't think they're going to put up 38 points. I could definitely see something like a 17-14 or 20-17. But I think the Vikings are going to win that one.
All right, so if the Vikings can come out of that stretch 3-2, they can't complain, because, again, those are three very difficult road games. I sort of assume they'll be 2-3 at that point, and then everybody's going to say, oh, what's wrong with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins and all the, you know, and then I think they'll turn out fine, because the schedule gets much easier in the middle of the season. So week six, they're home against the Cardinals.
That's, you got to call that one a win.
All right, so 4-2 now. Then they go to face the Jets. I think I'm going to be at that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's got to be a win. I mean, I know it's on the road.
Yeah, but all right. So 5-2 for you. And then they come home Sunday night, a rematch against the Saints. For the Saints, it's back to the scene of the crime.
Yeah, but I think they can pull it off, though.
All right, so 6-2, and then they face the Lions at home in week 9 right before their bye.
Yeah, that one's got to be a win. We got to win.
All right, so 7-2, we come into the bye, feeling pretty good. A 5-game winning streak working on, including which starts with a win in Philadelphia and also a win against the Saints. 2 weeks rest, we go to Chicago to face Mitchell Trubisky and the resurgent Bears. I don't know.
I'm gonna call that one a loss. It's Soldier Field.
Oh wow! So you're on the Trubisky.
I think we're gonna be a little rusty coming off the bye. I don't think that Trubisky will personally run rampant on us, but I could see that being a game where the offense.
All right, so Zimmer doesn't have like the Andy Reid magic with like the wins every year before and after.
No.
All right, so 7-3, and then on Sunday Night Football again for the rematch with the Packers at home.
Yeah, that's got to be a win.
So 8-3, we split with the Packers, and then the next week, the late game on Fox. So this one will also be sort of 90% of the country watching possible Super Bowl preview. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Vikings at New England.
Yeah, unless Tom Brady decides to hang it up at the bye week, I don't see how we win that one. That one's got to be a loss.
Okay, so they dropped 8-4, with 4 road losses so far. So I think they're only 2-4 on the road for you so far. And then they go at Seattle on a Monday nighter, which I think is their only Monday nighter of the year. They have they have a Thursday and a bunch of Sunday nighters, but this is the only Monday night of the year. Monday, December 10th at Seattle.
I think that one's a win.
Yeah, playing at Seattle is not what it meant, for most of the last 5 years. All right, so 9-4, and then pretty soft end of the schedule. They face Miami at home in Week 15.
Yeah, that's got to be
10-4. They go at Detroit. Can we sweep the Lions?
I think so.
All right, 11-4, and then at home for the Bears. Got to get revenge after losing at Chicago in November.
Yeah, I think that one will just kind of be a mop up game. That's got to be a win.
Okay, all right. So you have the Vikings at 12-4. I assume, does that win the division, or are the Packers also 12-4?
No, I think the Packers. I don't see them winning more than 11 games. I'm sure Roger loved you, but not 12.
So let me ask you this question. So 12-4. What is for you? What would be not a disappointing 2018 season? So for example, if the Vikings lose the NFC title game again, would you say it was a successful season or an unsuccessful season?
I always thought the moment that we signed Cousins, now that we have all these guys locked up for 2 years, that we've got to have at least one Super Bowl appearance in order for it not to be a complete failure. Because, how can you not?
Something that has not happened in our lifetimes, yours or mine.
Yep. So you've got to.
0-5 in NFC Championship games.
Yeah.
You don't remember the Darren Nelson game, but.
No.
Sure, you're aware of it.
Maybe I'll put a highlight of it up one day.
Yeah. I told you before we came on, I've made a whole list of my Funky Dunkelman request videos.
Oh, yeah?
The top games, the games that I would most love to see that you don't have. So I don't think you have, and I could be wrong because, you've put a lot of videos on YouTube. Do you have the game from 92 that when they came back down 20-0 in the fourth quarter to beat Jim Harbaugh and Mike Ditka and the Bears?
No, I do not.
All right. Are you familiar with that game, or it's a little before your time?
I don't think I've ever seen video footage of it. But yeah, I know of it. That's one that's been on my short list.
Yeah. So, So the Vikings were losing 20-0 to the Bears. And 92 was, Dennis Green's first year, their revival. They go 11-5, make the playoffs. And, I was 9 years old at the time, and I'd watch in the basement on the TV with my dad, our crappy little TV back then since 1992. And he actually left in the fourth quarter, and he's like, yeah, they lost this game, and he leaves. They're down 20-0. And they make the crazy comeback, and Dick and Harbaugh got in a fight in the sideline, and my dad runs down when it's 20-14. So that was great. So that's one that I definitely think you should work on. I also don't think you have the Week 5 in 98, Randy Moss's coming out party on Monday night against the Packers. Do you have that one?
No, I have that game, but I've never turned it into a highlight game.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a must. That was and again, this might be before your time, but do you remember Scotty Farrell? He was a late night guy.
No, not ringing a bell.
So Scotty Farrell used to have Keevan and I have talked about this. He used to have a late night national radio show. And in 1998, I would have been, I was 15 years old. I called into his show, and the Vikings were 4-0. The Packers were 4-0. The Vikings have this, amazing rookie Randy Moss. And I called him and I said, what are the Vikings going to do this week? I got on the air. I'm like, what are the Vikings going to do this week in Green Bay? And he says, lay an egg. And he hung up on me. And then, of course, the Vikings were up 37-10 in that game. I think Brett Favre's streak of touchdowns in a game ended or something like that. Randy Moss had 190 yards and two touchdowns. So that, like, the highest profile games that season for the Vikings were that game and then the Thanksgiving game in Dallas, where Randy Moss had three catches and they were all for 50 plus yard touchdowns. Yeah, so I would do that one also. That's probably the other big one from the 90s. So if you want to torture me, the Nate Poole game.
Oh, thankfully I don't have that one, so I can't.
Yeah, you don't really have a lot of games the Vikings lose, do you?
No, most of them when I try to seek out ones, I go more for wins.
Yeah, and then the only other regular season game that jumps out to me that I don't think you have is Adrian Peterson when he set the record against LaDainian Tomlinson and the Chargers, the single game record of 296.
No, I didn't really do that one. I believe the NFL has posted, they might have a video or two on there that kind of like shows like all these big runs from the game.
All right. I mean, listen, if anybody's new to you, they have so many videos to catch up to that, you know, they will have, especially as a Vikings fan, that, you know, they won't have any shortage of the things to see.
That like everybody knows that game. Like I'm trying to like find the ones where
You're trying to find the deep cuts.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay.
All right. So the last second before we let you go. So we have a listener from New Zealand who's new to football. And he's asking every single team that we're previewing this year, asking why should a new football fan from New Zealand looking to adopt a team, why should he adopt, or maybe you think he shouldn't adopt the Vikings as a team he's going to support?
Oh, geez. Well, I know for a fact, I believe there was some poll one time that like the Vikings were the most popular team in Canada. And then,
So Sam, isn't New Zealand kind of like Canada? That's the argument.
Well, I'm just saying, and then I think I saw something once too that said that, like, we were in like the top three for like teams in England when they like pulled fans there because we've got a couple games there. So
okay, so New Zealand was once part of the Commonwealth, so there you go.
So yeah, I don't know anything specific to New Zealand. We have yet to like sign some like New Zealander defensive tackle that would get cut after a year or something. But yeah,
we've had Australian punters like Darren Bennett, but you know, nobody from New Zealand yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're not the Browns, we're not the Lions. I can't really say what we are. I just can't say what we aren't. So.
Yeah, I think, look, the argument would be this. You know, if you want to have your heart broken, and I don't know why you join start supporting a team to have your heart broken, then the Vikings are a good option. But, like, the Vikings, like, different than the Lions and the Browns, some teams you just mentioned, like, the Vikings are always in it. The Vikings have made the playoffs more since they joined the league in 1960 than any team, I think, except for the 49ers. So they're always in the playoffs. They're always competing. They'll always break your heart, but they're always going to be relevant.
Yes. Right?
You're not going to have a stretch of, like, five straight years out of the playoffs. I mean, the Vikings have never had that in their history. So
I've seen that.
So that's one argument.
That is an argument for some people, like even like after the Eagles lost, where they're like, I'd rather be a Browns fan. At least they don't get their hopes up. Like, why would you even think that? I would rather have hope from September through whatever, January, and then get your, you know, at least you've got something, rather than, you know, being a Browns fan and being on your 38th quarterback in the last 5 years, whatever. Like, why? Yeah, what? So you just want to be miserable all the time?
Yeah, no, I hate the people who like have this, especially in like the NBA, who people say, if you're not competing for a title this year, you should be like, you know, you should completely bottom out. Like, that's not how sports work. Sports is supposed to be something that gives you distraction from your life and enjoyment for, you know, several months every year.
Yeah.
And if your team is just automatically out of it, it's just like, yeah, what's the joy in that? So yeah, the Vikings will keep you interested from September through December, and then they'll break your heart in January. So.
Yeah. Maybe someday February.
Or maybe Sam would become like you, who your first year as a Vikings fan was 98, and you like jumped on and, oh, look at this. I joined just in time. They're going to win a title. Setting all these records, greatest offense of all time. And
I remember being tired of watching them win so much. That's, I remember thinking like, Jesus, this is boring. They just win every week. Oh, what's the joy in this? What's the great football?
All right, so they found a way to you know what actually reminds me of? So Chuck Knobloch, his rookie year in 91 was for the Twins, and of course the Twins, you know, won the World Series that year. And then he got better and better. And in the mid-90s, he was like a superstar for this completely garbage team that, you know, was borderline contracted. And he demands a trade. And I actually remember thinking at the time, like, maybe he got spoiled. Because they won the World Series his first year, he expected it was always going to be like this. And so he demanded a trade, and he gets sent to the Yankees, where, you know, they go to the World Series every year. But, you know, he was hated there, and he lost the ability to throw, and he ended up in left field. And so, yeah, so Sam, maybe he becomes a Vikings fan this year. They win the Super Bowl. For all of us, it's the greatest day of our lives. Sam just thinks it's going to happen every year. And then he'll have years and years of misery, and then he'll like have to email a podcast in 2033 and say, hey, listen, I've been a football fan for 15 years, but I need a new team to support. Yeah. So. Who knows?
One Super Bowl is better than none.
That is definitely true. Yeah, they win one Super Bowl. I'll be good for, you know, my dad hasn't seen one in his lifetime. No Vikings fan has. So
yeah, they
take one.
The trade I would gladly have. I would trade or they can win the Super Bowl this year, and I'll take a good 15 years of 3-13 seasons.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, how's Millie doing? We haven't heard a lot about her since January. I hope she's still alive.
Yeah.
All right, so Ryan, thanks so much for joining us again. Ryan is on YouTube as Funky Dunkelman. Even if you're not a Vikings fan, if you care about football, search Funky Dunkelman on YouTube. You will find a lot of great videos. You know, again, if you like individual players, you'll see a lot of great videos about that. He has just amazing videos. Ryan, do you have anything else to plug for us today?
No, not really. I'll keep making videos. I will say, too, I know like a lot of people, they'll mess up the spelling of my Funky Dunkelman. All you really have to do is just type in like Vikings highlights or like Vikings 1998. They'll usually show up pretty early, so...
Yeah, you'll find one of his. Yeah. So it's Funky. I mean, if you can't spell Funky, then, well, maybe you're a listener to this podcast. And Dunkelman is Dunk and then L-E-M-A-N. So Dunkelman. I think if you Google it, hopefully Google will correct it for you. But yeah. So Funky Dunkelman, one word on YouTube. You know, check out those videos and let's get those views, you know, from the thousands into the millions, I guess. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck to your team this season. I don't say that to all our guests, but I obviously do to this guest.
Yeah, thanks.
And who knows? Maybe they have a great season. We bring you back to preview one of their playoff games.
Yeah, let me know. Lots of talk about it.
All right. Okay, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great night.
All right, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Tell them everything. Tell them I'm a good kisser. Tell them all the things you told me in your desperate whisper. If you're gonna tell them everything, don't leave out the good part. Tell them the way that you broke my heart when you told me that you missed her.